Thank the Lord for his blessings and for the opportunity to be here again and desire your prayers. I want the Lord to bless these moments that we spend together each Sunday. I want it to be beneficial to our souls. Appreciate the song, River. How important it is to partake of that river of life, to have it flowing from within us. And the Lord has made it possible for us to be able to enjoy that river. This morning, my little burden, thank the Lord, is some preventive maintenance. I've always been told it's better to deal with the problem before it exists. And so far as I know this morning, I am unaware of anything about this little burden I have that is going to impact anyone here. But it's, again, preventive maintenance, something for us to consider, because the potential is always for us, if we're not careful, to take on elements from the outside and have them become a part of our lives. The enemy is always trying to cause us to have some level of compromise in our lives. And the Lord doesn't want us to do that, of course. But I want you to know, to the congregation, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I've told you before, I'll say it again and I mean it from my heart. When I see you in different places where we have concourse, transactions of business and things of that nature, stores, when I see you looking much the same as you do here this morning. Now, you're not always dressed in Sunday clothes, of course. You'll be in your more casual clothes. But for the absolutely the most part, it does me good to be able to say that when I see you in public and I see how you dress yourselves in public, I see you how you comport yourselves, I see how you present yourselves, it is a blessing to me, because it's much the same as what I see when we come together in worship service. And I'm very pleased to be able to say that. There's a consistency there. So for lack of a better title, I guess I would have to say this would be outward adorning. Beginning in the book of Exodus, in chapter 35, we're not going to read this account, but it begins there and runs for several chapters. It's the instructions of how to build the temple or tabernacle that God was going to dwell in. It was going to be his dwelling place with the Israelite nation. Of course, you know it was to be a portable structure. But if you take the time to read, you'll find that it was absolutely ornate. Boards laden with gold. Structures inside the facility covered with gold. Altars of brass and gold. Things of that nature. The priest's garments were very ornately made. They were designed to make sure that anyone who saw the garment of the priest knew it was the priest. There were purposes and reasons for it all in God's plan, I know, because the things that were done in the Old Testament concerning the worship was to be a type and a shadow of things to come in the New Covenant. But everything that was done there was done to exhibit the beauty, the magnificence, the awesome abilities, the trying to display the the God who had built or designed this in a magnificent order and arrangement. All of it was designed to do that, to magnify Him. And it should have been that way. It was right to be that way. And it was the way that God had designed it to be, and the Lord gave His approval on it whenever it was all said and done. They had artisans and craftsmen working up on all the things that were to be built and sewn together and things of that nature. When it was all done, the Lord put His blessing on it, put His sanction on it. But then there was to come a time when there would be a transition. And the Lord began to, years later, began to become weary of the sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats. It's not that it wasn't still acceptable, but He wanted something so very different. He wanted the heart of the individual to love Him, and not just with rites and ceremonies and rituals, not with just obedience to commands, but He wanted it to come from a heart that was a heart of love. So I'd like to turn to the book of Jeremiah, and we'll read a few verses here in the 31st chapter. Jeremiah 31. Verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer was there to be an external structure. No longer was there to be this magnificent sight when you walked up to this structure. He said, I'm going to put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. That's where the Lord has always desired and designed that His commands and His laws would be kept, is in the hearts and the minds of His people. And He didn't want it to be there and observed out of a case of fear, as though cowering in fear. He wanted it to be done out of reverence and respect to Him, because He is God. And because, as we grow to learn who He is, we develop the relationship where we understand that He is God, and we are desperate to have Him as our God. And when we have Him as our God and we receive the benefits from Him, then we realize more and more and more what blessing it is to know the Lord and to have Him have made a covenant with us, not an external structure, but to have it in our hearts and in our minds. So all of the things that the Lord did in the Old Testament, all the ornate structure and all the ornate designs and decorations and all the trappings that were in the Old Testament system of worship, those things had their place. They had their time. But there came a time when there was a transition, and that no longer was what the Lord was looking for. He was looking for hearts of people that would accept His laws. And He wanted to put His law in their hearts, in their inward parts. So now, here's where we come today. 1 Peter chapter 3. These are very common verses. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. Now this is speaking, in the proper context, is speaking to women about how they're to adorn themselves. But the principle is the same for men. I find today in our society, and it's been this way for a while, that men have taken the path of adorning themselves much the same as women have. They'll put on the gold, they'll put on the earrings, they'll put on the trappings that of things that once was not really acceptable in society, but now they do. But these are the things, I believe, that the Lord wants us to take notice of and look at. And I said again, this is preventive maintenance this morning. It's something that I want us to consider. I want us to realize that the Lord is pleased with us to be a simple and a plain people. Not simple in understanding, not simple in mind, but simple in a lifestyle. Simple in the way that we conduct ourselves and present ourselves and dress ourselves. Of course, there are times when we come together and we want to look nice. You go to a funeral, you go to a wedding, you want to dress in nice clothes. You want to go to church services. You want to dress in nice clothes. You want to have some dress clothes on, of course, if at all possible. And that's necessary, I believe. It's right to do that. It's something that we should do. We're coming before the Lord. We're coming before the Lord. We're coming to in His house, and we want to show respect unto Him for all that He has done. There's much more could be said about that, but I want to move on a little bit here. It's not the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but the hidden man of the heart. Adam Clark made this comment on that fourth verse. A meek and quiet spirit. That is a mind that will not give provocation to others, nor receive irritation by the provocation of others. Meekness will prevent the first. Quietness will guard against the last. Of great price. All the ornaments placed on the head and body of the most illustrious female are, in the sight of God, a female or male, I will add, are in the sight of God of no worth. Hear this again. All the ornaments placed on the head and body of the most illustrious person, male, female, are in the sight of God of no worth. It's of no value to Him. Does it change the individual, make him a better person? Does it make him more or less saved to do those kinds of things? All that depends. But those things in the sight of God are of no worth. But a meek and silent spirit are, in His sight, invaluable. Because proceeding from and leading to Himself, being incorruptible, surviving the ruins of the body and the ruins of time, and enduring eternally. A meek and silent spirit are in the sight of God invaluable, because where do they come from? They come from God. They proceed from Him and they lead to Him. And that being incorruptible, that meek and quiet spirit being incorruptible, surviving the ruins of the body. Folks, these bodies change and decay. As we get older, we have all kinds of things that start to happen to these old bodies. The wrinkles start to show up. Other little things start to show up here and there that are not always the most sightly. They're not most beautiful things to look at. Spots here and there. Those kind of things happen along the way, all right? But the meek and quiet spirit survives the ruins of the body and the ruins of time, and they endure eternally. Thank the Lord for these teachings. Thank the Lord that He has taught us that there are things that are of so much more value than outward things, than outward adornment, trying to decorate this old flesh, trying to decorate this old body. All right, now 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, and I'll say men, this same principle follows for the men, adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Gold, pearls, costly array. I understand. Guys, believe me. I understand. Whenever I was a boy, whenever I was a teenager, and the advertisements would come out about these new tennis shoes Nike and Adidas had, these help you jump higher. These help you run faster. You know what the draw was? I want a pair of those. You know why? Because I'll jump higher. Because I'll run faster. You know what that is? That's an advertising ploy. Never once did I find myself being able to run faster or jump higher because I had on a different pair of shoes. It took much more than a pair of shoes to make a person be able to jump higher or run faster. It takes exercise. It takes practice. It takes training. It takes patient endurance to be successful in living for the Lord and building relationship with Him. External things are not going to cause us to be drawn closer to the Lord. It might win the praise of the world. It might win the praise of some of your peers. I know what it's like to have on a brand new pair of sneakers and one of your buddies look at them and say, "Hey, you got a pair of those, huh?" "Oh yeah, I got me a brand new pair." Those things, I know how that feels. I know what it's like. I know how that can be. It's important to a degree to young guys, young girls, to be able to have a purse that has a certain design on it. I realize those things are important to you. But they just pale in comparison to the things that the Lord God is really looking for. I'm not trying to say to you this morning, don't go buy a brand new pair of Nikes or Adidas or whatever is out there. Girls, don't go buy a brand new purse because you like the design that's on. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this to us, folks. If we're not careful, we'll allow the outward adorning. We'll allow those things to become so much a part of us that we lose the focus on what's really important, and that is the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Titus, chapter 2. Verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. These are the responsibilities that we have in teaching our youth. To teach them to be young men, to be sober-minded. The women to teach the young girls, the young women to be sober, love husbands, love their children. Discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands. that the Word of God be not blasphemed. There's responsibilities that each one of us have, male and female, to one another. And as we're growing up through life, to teach our young men and our young women how to do the things they ought to do and have the principles instilled inside of them, because God has said, again, that the time would come in the new covenant, and thank God, folks, that's the covenant we live in today, where God wants to write these things on our hearts. He wants these things to be on our hearts. And those things, once they're in the heart, they cause us to do the things that would be pleasing to our Lord and cause us to do the things that would be acceptable to Him. I want to bring to your attention, well, let's go to James. James chapter 2. Verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? You know how easy it is to notice external things with people and think more highly of them than they ought to be thought of? Do you know how easy it is to see a man come in dressed to the nines and another man come in with just very casual clothes on? And you look at the two, what's your impressions of them? You see, as human beings, we have to be careful about that. I remember being at a funeral one time, been years ago. There's a gentleman that came in. There's several people that were there, dressed nice. There was a gentleman that came in, and I have to admit that his clothes weren't necessarily fitting for the funeral service. He didn't have on, he was modest, but he was slovenly dressed. That's the best way I know to put it. He was just slovenly dressed. But I noticed one thing. He had a brand new pair of tennis shoes, which kind of struck me odd. And in a little while, my friend came over to me, and he said, you see that gentleman right there? And yeah. He said, he's my cousin. He doesn't have anything. He came to pay his respects. And he went out and bought a brand new pair of tennis shoes, because that's all he could do. You know, it changed my thinking. You see how easy it is to get caught up? The tennis shoes caught my eye, all right, because they didn't match the rest of what he had on. His clothes were just slovenly clothes. But he had on a brand new pair of tennis shoes. But when my friend came over and told me, he came to pay his respects, and he went out and bought a brand new pair of tennis shoes. Well, I thought, shame on me, because I have been guilty probably more than I want to realize of looking at those kinds of things. Now, this is speaking about a man coming in with a gold ring, goodly apparel. It's easy for us to make assessments based on what we see externally. But I would like to make this comment concerning something that I have taken notice of, and that I just want to give preventive maintenance here. I'm concerned over what I have seen more of, the taking on of the wearing of the wedding band. There are arguments for it. It reminds me I have a partner, and I can't break my vows of fidelity. It's a visible deterrent to others to show I'm in a marriage relationship. The wedding band itself does nothing to strengthen the relationship. Not one thing. Many times a wedding band is removed to not allow these visible deterrents. Many times a wedding band has no significance at all to couples desiring to be unfaithful. Outward adorning in the sight of God is really not something He's interested in. He sees who you and I are. He expects us to dress modestly, and I'm not even going to try to go down that path. That's a whole other idea, thought to think about. I said to you I had something on my mind of preventive maintenance today. Folks, let's be careful. Let's be careful. This world is doing everything it can possibly do to encroach upon society. Bring those things, rather, encroach upon the church. And bring those things from society into our church. And we don't want those things in the church. And may God help us to always put up a resistance against those things from society that the enemy would try to bring in to dilute. The man that comes in the assembly with the gold ring, it's easy to look at that and say, well, this guy must be, he's important. Well, in that day, that's what it meant. He was somebody. He was supposed to be given some deference. He was supposed to be recognized as one who had power and authority. Maybe he was a senator or something of that nature. He was to be recognized in that place. Have you ever met somebody and they make sure you understand who they are and what position they hold? Hello, my name is Joe Smith. I'm district attorney of Ascension Parish. Nice to meet you, Mr. Smith. I don't go to Ascension Parish. Really doesn't matter to me if you're the DA of Ascension Parish. But it's nice to meet you anyway. But you see how we can be, how people can be. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll allow those kinds of things to become a part of our lives. We want to make sure that I show to you and I show to the world that I want you to see this. I want you to see. Folks, there are things like that that I believe we have to be careful. We have to be careful about our outward adorning because it sends a message. What we put on, the things that we put on, the clothes that we wear, yes, the external things, the jewelries, the gold, the ornaments, all those kinds of things, they send a message. The Lord wants us to be careful what message we send. He sees those things. Again, I want you to know, I'm thankful that when I go around in our community and I see you, I'm very pleased in my heart. I just want us to be careful. I want us to not allow the things of our society to encroach upon us and cause us to severely weaken places and positions that the Word of God clearly teaches us that we ought not to accept. I desire your prayers this morning. I want to make heaven my home. I want you to make heaven, and I know that you want to. I want us to go there together. May God bless each one. I trust this has been a little just something to think about today. Thank you for your time and attention. Amen.